Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Oh, you're very welcome along to the Premier View Tipperary GA podcast. My name is Thomas Conway. I'm a new contributor, but I'm happy to join the party. And more importantly, with me this evening, it's Tuesday, January 11th, with me is multiple All-Ireland winning Tipperary hurler, former Nenagh County title winning captain Conor O'Donovan. Conor, you're very welcome along.
Thanks very much, Thomas. Thank you very much for having me on board.
Yeah, now, obviously, you have a very accomplished career in the game, but specifically the issue we want to address here tonight, you've raised it in the media in recent years, and that is the rule of the hand pass. Can you just explain to people your arguments, what you think which the hand pass is creating, and the proposed rule change which you're advocating for?
Right, well, if you like, Thomas, even to go back as far as 2008, I was watching an All-Ireland Camogie final, junior Camogie final on the television. And one of the teams, it was Clare, scored a goal late on in the game. And by way of, the player was standing virtually on the goal line. And to me, it looked like they threw the ball into the net, but it's obviously deemed a hand pass. But to my reckoning at the time, I thought that looked like a throw. And so the goal was allowed. Now, I actually raised it, believe it or not, at that time, a few weeks later, with a senior official in Croke Park. I highlighted it as a possible issue going forward and asked if maybe the Hurling Development Committee at the time might maybe have a look at it, because I put forward at the time a possible solution to this problem. And there was a bit of toing and froing with this senior official in Croke Park. And he assured me that the Hurling Development Committee would consider my proposal. But look, nothing ever came of it. Roll on a few years then. Around 2017, I began to notice that there was a bit more what I looked like throwing of the ball going on in terms of, if you like, an illegal hand pass. And wasn't really being penalised by the referees. So as a result of it not being penalised, I felt it was starting to creep into the game more and more. So I had a look at the rules, the technical playing rules of the hand pass, we'll say in the GAA's technical hurling rule book. Yeah. And there are two rules, if you like, governing the hand pass that will state that it's a foul. And one is rule 4.2a, and it states that it's a foul to throw the ball. And rule 4.2b states it is a foul to hand pass the ball without it being released and struck with a definite striking action of the hand. Yeah. And I began to notice that more and more players were actually, they were offloading the ball from the same hand that the ball was in. To me, there wasn't a clear striking action happening. So that was in effect, that was a throw. So it was in contravention of both these rules.
And well, in other words, you feel it was damaging the integrity of the game, basically. Is that what you're saying?
It's damaging, first of all, the integrity of the rules of the game, right? Because the rules state it's a foul, basically, to throw the ball. So obviously, somebody along the way, somebody I would imagine in a coaching position, identified, if you like, the potential weakness of these two rules and how they could be exploited to good effect by players and teams accordingly. that, you know, obviously it's quicker way, you know, to offload the ball by way of throwing it than to engage in a clear striking action with the hand.
So are you suggesting teams are willfully exploiting the rule that they're setting out to throw the ball, so to speak, or make a very subtle motion?
I think the fact that it's happening more and more often, Thomas, and players or teams are getting away with it, they recognise that they're getting away with it. I think it's fair to say they are doing it deliberately at this stage. Now, an example of this really is, I've been speaking with some coaches of underage players over the past while. I've been speaking to a number of coaches, and they've been trying to stress to their players, they're under sixes, they're under eights, they're under tens, that it's a foul to throw the ball, right? And the message they're getting back from those players is, well, hold on, sure, all the top players are actually throwing it and getting away with it, all right? So now, those coaches are caught in a tricky situation. They're now, if you like, in a conflicted, they are conflicted. Do they encourage their players to throw the ball, or do they stress on them to continue to try and hand pass the ball properly? And if they do that, continue to stress to them to continue to hand pass the ball properly, they're actually putting their players and their teams at a competitive disadvantage.
Okay.
Right? So, that's an issue then going forward. We can come back to that shortly. We'll come back to that shortly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, obviously there are developmental issues there, but I'm just wondering, how prevalent do you feel it is? Do you feel that this is just has become a common feature of intercounty hurling, or is it prevalent in club hurling as well?
It is prevalent at intercounty level, intercounty hurling at all levels, Thomas, is prevalent at club hurling at all levels, and is prevalent, I hear anecdotally, in schools and colleges hurling. Right. So, you know, and unfortunately, it is quite obvious that the rules as they currently are unenforceable by the referees. They're clearly unenforceable. A case in point would be where you have a player in possession of the ball, and you have other players positioned between that player and the referee. So the referee's view of how the player in possession of the ball has offloaded the ball from the hand is obstructed. So how can he tell if that ball was hand passed, we'll say, legally or illegally? So he has to basically make a guess on it. And in that instance, it's like as if he's officiating the game blindfolded. And another example of where the referees are unable to see how the ball was offloaded is if the player in possession of the ball has his back to the referee. So now the referee's view of the ball in the player's hand is clearly obstructed as well. So he can't tell how the ball has been offloaded by that player, how it has been hand-passed, has it been done legally or illegally. So the referee has to make a guess then, effectively, and sometimes he'll guess it rightly, sometimes he'll guess it wrongly. Now, I do think that that is unfair on the referees, but also unfair on the players, that you have that situation where the referee has to guess whether the ball has been hand-passed legally or illegally.
Right,
so
yeah.
That's why I started giving this issue some thought, and I tried to figure out, would there be a way to rectify this manner or this problem in a manner that was fair and easy to implement. And so I then, if you like, came up with the wording of a rule. Now, so like upon discussing this issue with different people, some people would have been saying to me, look, the best thing to do is to ban the hand pass altogether.
Okay, but you're not for that.
I think that's a bit extreme. I don't think it's necessary. Okay. I've come up with a proposed solution that will just, if you like, ban one aspect of the hand pass options that exist. And that would be, and I'll give you the wording of it, which I presented to Croke Park last August, all right? Yeah. The wording of it is that it will state that it is a foul to either hand pass the ball or palm the ball directly from the same hand that is holding the ball, right?
Okay, so now, and you have in fairness provided visuals, video footage, which is quite helpful. We'll put it up, I hope, with the podcast, just demonstrating the rule which you've outlined. But yeah, no, proceed.
Right. So I'm not saying to ban the hand pass altogether. What I'm saying is it's simply a foul to either hand pass the ball or palm the ball directly from the same hand that is holding the ball. Now, how players adapt to that rule then after that is up to themselves. All right. Some people simply are kind of interpreting that I'm saying that they have to hand pass the ball with the other hand. That's not the case. There are other options available to players to do that. But if they want to hand pass the ball from the other hand, as the video clips I forwarded to you have demonstrated, it's quite simple to do. When you're looking at it, if you like engaging in a two-handed hand pass of the ball, it's simply a case of transferring the hurley from the hand that is already holding the hurley over to the other hand. And it's quite simple to do. And that's one hand pass skill that would still remain, along with multiple other hand passing skills. But we're seeing fewer amounts of those these times, Thomas, being executed, because players are, by and large now, you know, hand passing the ball from the same hand that the ball is in, you know?
And leading
to quite often being thrown.
Yeah, and you've obviously invested a lot of thought into it. And you know, they are very interesting proposals. What strikes me, I guess, and I think what a lot of people will be thinking is, you know, is this an inevitable consequence of the tempo of the modern game? The fact that things have just become so fast and furious out there that a change such as this could damage that factor, you know, could slow down the game, if not intentionally. How would you respond to that?
I could say possibly one or two things there, Thomas, right? First of all, as things stand, the way the game is actually being played now, with it being hand-passed so much, the tempo of the game has actually slowed down, okay. Believe it or not. The tempo of the game has actually slowed down. All right.
Because it's a short passing game, essentially. Is that it?
That's it. And the ball is effectively, it's not been struck by the hand. Okay, we'll say prior to the throwing of the ball becoming more and more commonplace. Generally, when a player got the ball, he looked to strike it with the hurley and move it on straight away.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Temple Stadium, where every name matters.
Connor, I have to say, you're slowly winning me around to your argument, but let's pick up where we left off. The question of rooks and melees in the game and the impact which the hand pass is having on that. What are your thoughts on that specifically?
Yeah, specifically, I do believe the illegal hand pass now, the hand pass from the same hand that the ball is in, is contributing quite significantly to the formation of these rooks, as we call them, in hurling now. Because, if you like, what's the primary goal of players these days is to secure possession of the ball. Now, if the ball is on the ground, and the player who's first to the ball, what he's doing now, he's standing when he gets there and roll lifting it, or at least attempting to roll lift it. And in standing and pausing for that moment, it's allowing other players to come in and tackle him and prevent the ball from being lifted into that player's hand. And more players pile in onto it, and they're all then trying to roll lift the ball. Okay, and it's, then you have all this cluster of players there, and the whole team becomes a rook. Now, what's happening there as well is it's contributing to the pace or the tempo of the game slowing down.
Okay.
Now, if if you like, the rule that I'm proposing to be introduced was introduced, I would see a significant reduction, if not a complete elimination, of these rucks. Because then, if you like, the focus then of the player who's running to the ball on the ground will be to jab lift it on the run and stay moving with it. All right? Because the, if you like, the option won't be there so much anymore. If he was to get the stand, be standing there and get the ball into his hand, the option to throw it out to, if like a teammate, won't be there. All right, because of the cluster of players. Whereas now the focus then will be on to stay moving with the ball when he jab lifts it on the run and stays moving.
Okay, it's an interesting point. I can see what you mean, and I suppose it's important to state again that you're not proposing outlawing the hand pass. There still will be an option there to hand pass the ball. It's just the technique or the motion will be different.
Well, you see, there are, you know, there's plenty of other hand passing options in the game, Thomas. There's over six hand passing options, maybe up to eight as it is in the game. All right. So all I'm proposing is that one element of that those hand passing options be made illegal, or if you like, to be made a foul. And in doing so, in order to help the referees be able to determine if a foul was committed or not. Because for the reason I outlined earlier, their view of the player in possession of the ball is sometimes obstructed, or their view of the ball in the player's hand is also obstructed. And they have to engage in guesswork to decide if the ball was hand passed legally or illegally. Okay, so what I'm doing is I'm making it easy for the referees to adjudicate on this issue.
Okay, right. Take your point. I'm now, just thinking though. Yeah, yes. Okay. Go on.
Well, I was going to say as well, I do believe it's also a significant contributor to a lot of fouling in the game at the moment. When a player gets the ball into his hand now, there's a strong tendency to take on an opponent, all right, to run into the tackle in the hope of engineering a free. All right, so if perchance the referee doesn't award him a free, or if he can't break clear of the tackle, all is not lost, because he can still just offload the ball to a teammate who's running in support. All right. And that's an area then, if you like, that has been impacted by the illegal hand pass.
And
what I'm proposing now is that if my rule was introduced, I think players in possession of the ball would now think twice of running into the tackle, because it'll be much more difficult for them to offload the ball if they're tackled and they're not being awarded a free by the referee.
Yeah, I can certainly see that. Yeah, I can see your point of view. I think what a lot of people might fear, a lot of people listening, they might sense, would there be a danger that you could unintentionally eliminate the hand pass from the game? I mean, even though it may still be legal, but the fact that it is maybe more difficult to pull off, that it would lead to an elimination. I'm thinking of, off the top of my head, I'll pick what Noel McGrath in the All-Ireland final back in 2010. He played Lar Corbett in with, you know, this beautiful hand pass kind of turn around. Keane Lynch, you know, a lot of his play revolves around quick hands and that. People will probably be wary of that threat, but you don't think that will happen. You think without introducing this rule, the game will continue to slow down, the rucks will continue to deteriorate, and your rule will amend that or will rectify that?
Well, okay, the two areas I've spoken about there, the rucks and the running into the tackle, okay, they become, if you like, byproducts of the illegal hand pass, okay? The fundamental issue here is this. Players are now throwing the ball, okay, which is a foul. And the reason they're throwing the ball is because they're offloading it from the same hand that the ball is in. And you use the term there, quick hands. Quick hands are fine, Thomas, but if you're throwing the ball, that's a foul. It might be quick, but it's a foul. End of. Okay, so it should be a free. So referees are being asked, in a lot of instances, to guess whether the ball was thrown or whether it was properly hand-passed. All right. And having to guess is unfair on referees, as I've said already. It's also unfair on the players. That should not be the case. The rules should be clear cut and they should be enforceable.
Okay.
And the current rules of in relation to hand passing are unenforceable, regardless of what anyone says. And the word I'm getting from Croke Park is that Central Council will be writing to all the hurling counties this year to tell them that the officiating referees in games will be encouraged strongly to enforce the rules, the hand pass rule, for the coming year. Now, you know, I'm a small bit dismayed at that, because that in effect means that it's just going to be a continuation of the same. Now, in 2019, I appeared on RTE 6.1 News raising the hand pass issue. Mm. Also on that segment was Willie Barrett from Tipperary, who then was the referees hurling development committee chairman. Okay. And Willie was asked about the problem with the hand pass in the game. And he said that the committee, the referees development committee, were encouraging all referees to start being more vigilant on this issue. Okay. So now, back in 2019, the GAA decided that they would, try and take firmer or sterner action on the illegal hand pass. But what has happened? Nothing improved in 2019, nothing improved in 2020, and nothing improved in 2021. In fact, the whole thing has just deteriorated. So, as I say, I'm a bit dismayed to hear that the GAA are basically looking to continue with the way things are, rather than take decisive action on trying to fix this problem.
Right. So clearly you're quite frustrated with the central authorities, really. Is that fair to say?
I'd be disappointed about that, Thomas. Now, so I have written to Croke Park and asked them to ask the Central Council to reconsider their decision and to give my proposed solution more serious consideration with a view to putting it forward to Congress for it to be voted on. Now, I haven't got any feedback from Croke Park as of yet, but I think it is just illogical for the GAA just to continue to do the same thing and expect to achieve different results when the last 3 years have shown that's not possible.
Right. And I sense from chatting to you off air that one of the most important aspects of this to you, and I think in fairness, a lot of people will share this view, is the question of underage players and the development of players, that if something isn't done quickly here, it will lead to the rule being abused by, youngsters coming up and through the ranks. That is particularly important.
Well, that's a major issue going forward, Thomas. Like, as things stand now, the young hurlers, who are, as you say, the future of the game, they're receiving mixed messages about the hand pass, both verbally and visually. Mm. Verbally, and if you like, rightly so, their coaches are telling them it is a foul to throw the ball. Mm. However, visually, they're seeing all the adult players in particular, and also those at inter-county level, and particularly the games that they see on television, they're seeing them throwing the ball the whole time and they're not being penalized. So straight away, they're receiving mixed messages, all right? And so it's like this, whatever happens in inter-county games will be copied by hurlers in club and college games. It is called imitation. It is how most skills are learned and adopted. The child imitates the star. The young adult imitates the star. The stars make the skills look cool and trendy. And right now, they're getting away with throwing the ball, and that looks cool and trendy to the youngsters, regrettably.
So I think it is seriously incumbent on the GAA as a national sporting organization to address this issue and resolve it decisively. You can't have an organization the size of the GAA allowing mixed messages to be communicated down to all the ranks and down to the under, you know, to the very underage, down to players under six. We can't have that, allow that to continue.
Okay, well, whatever about the GAA at administrative level, have you sensed, do you get a sense anecdotally that there is desire to change this rule from speaking to players, managers, even, you know, coaches at younger age teams in particular? Is the desire there to implement such a rule change? Because it is pretty fundamental. You know, the hand pass has been a feature of the game for forever, really. So this is a fundamental rule change.
Yes, it is. But once again, it's a small rule change that would have a huge beneficial effect, right? Now, during last year, I spoke to a number of former hurlers. Just let me say, I did not speak with any current players nor any current coaches or managers, because that would be unfair to them, to put them in an awkward position.
Yeah, fair enough. Right?
Okay, so because they couldn't be seen to say, yeah, the hand passing or the throwing of the ball is a problem, because then that would mean that their players and their teams would have to be curtailing it, which would be putting them at a disadvantage, competitive disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So I spoke with a lot of genuine hurling supporters, but I also spoke with a number of former inter-county hurlers who are not involved with any teams. All right, I'll give you some examples. Eddie Kerr of Kilkenny, Noel Lane of Galway, Justin McCarthy from Cork, Michael Cleary and Declan Carr from Tipperary, Joachim Kelly from Offaly, Desi Donnelly from Antrim, Peter Murphy from Galway. These are all former inter-county hurlers. They won All-Ireland medals. They received All-Stars. There's even a couple of All-Ireland winning captains there among them. And all of them signed a petition in support of my proposed solution to this problem. And that's, and when I reached a target of, I set myself a target of 100 signatures. And once I got 100 signatures, I delivered it to Croke Park. I delivered my proposal along with the petition of support signed by all these people.
Okay.
All right. Because they are very much in favor of two things. They see the throwing of the ball as a problem, but they also see my proposed solution as a viable solution.
Okay, yeah, and they're, you know, all big names, no more than yourself. I suppose, and in fairness to you, you've addressed this in other interviews. People are going to be inclined to say, well, and forgive me now, this is just a bunch of old lads, you know, they want the game like it was in their day. That's the argument that I'm sure has been leveled at you. So how would you respond to people who make that critique?
Well, first and foremost, let me just say that they weren't the only people who signed that petition. A lot of just, you know, general hurling supporters, people who may never have really played the game, but like watching it. And they despair at seeing the ball being thrown in hurling now, right? Despair at seeing it being thrown and also not being penalised by the referees, all right? So if a foul is being committed, it doesn't make any difference whether, you know, it's people who are retired from the game who are calling it, or whether it's the genuine supporters. If a foul has been committed and it's not been penalised, the problem has to be fixed.
Okay.
End of story. The problem has to be fixed. It just can't be left. I put it like this. It, for me and a lot of people, okay, it is a constant distraction which takes from the enjoyment of watching a game of hurling being played now. That's what it is. It's a constant distraction. And not just for me, but hurling followers all over the place.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that you didn't expect change to come this year. Certainly, there has been no indication that there will be change. Looking towards the future, I mean, do you see a prospect that, you know, that your campaign will be listened to or will be adopted by the central authorities? Can you see that happening? Or, you know, is your position a grim one at present?
At this point in time, I retain a little bit of hope that the GAA might take on board my solution, my proposed solution this year, and have it submitted to Congress to be voted on. If not, we're going to have a continuation of the same this coming year in the hurling scene. But I will continue to endeavour to build more support for my proposed solution and endeavour to have it submitted to subsequent congresses down along the line. Because the situation as it is, Thomas, is unsustainable. You just can't let the throwing of the ball continue indefinitely. And it would be very irresponsible of the GAA to do so. So inevitably, a change will come. Inevitably. Now, as you say, I can't say whether it'll be this year, next year, the year after, but inevitably a change will come because the amount of people who are becoming more and more aware and conscious of it, of this, rule infraction, as they call it, is growing. Okay. And they're starting to make their voices and their feelings known about it.
Okay.
So I just can't see how the GAA can continue to ignore it indefinitely.
Well, look, Conor, it's been a fascinating discussion. I have to say, I'll be honest, I was skeptical coming into it. You've sort of won me round. I don't know what others will think, but we look forward to hearing their feedback. But it certainly is a fascinating topic. And, we really appreciate you coming on and chatting to us here. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you very much, Thomas, for having me on your show. And maybe we might speak again in the future. So all the best for now.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here.